Thank you, Pastor Nate. Bonjour. I would like to start by thanking Brandywine Baptist Church for the support that you have been providing our family for the past 13 years. Karen, my wife, Rob, my brother-in-law, then my kids, Matt, Lilou, Josiah. Abigail is missing. She's in Atlanta going to a Christian camp, and wonderful grandparents, George and Nita. Thank you for providing support for our family as we have been ministering not only in France but also throughout the French-speaking world, from Canada, Europe, all the way to Africa, and now extending the ministry also to the Middle East and North Africa. Thank you for continuing to pray for us as the Lord is opening doors for new countries, new people group, new ways to reach them for Christ so that they can in turn move on and reach other nations for Christ. We arrived in France 13 years ago, and because my son Josiah loved to wrestle with me on the carpet, we said with Karen, why don't we sign him up for karate class? And it had just happened that in the village where we were settling, there was one of the best karate club in France. So we started coming to the first session, and here you had all the kids who wanted to start karate, and you had the parents, everybody was excited, kids were excited about starting to kick some bad guys and kind of things. And as the master came, he called everybody to attention. Now, let me tell you a little bit about who this master is. His name is Pascal Poitvin, and he's a world champion karate master. And I must admit that I was a little bit impressed. He had his France team jacket on. He was in the Olympics. Very impressive man. And so he gathered all the kids, all the white belts, and called them to attention as he brought on the tatami the black belts for a three-minute presentation. Now, I was quite surprised to see that they were young. I mean, some of the black belts, they were 16-year-old. I mean, they were young black belts. And they give this three-minute presentation. I kid you not, it was unbelievable. I mean, the kids, they had their mouth wide open. They were drooling everywhere. I mean, the parents were so excited. They were starting writing checks. You know, how much does it cost for a year? And then, at the end of the demonstration, the master, Pascal Poitvin, said, if you join this club, it is not if you will become a black belt, it's when. And then he left. How much does it cost again, you know? If you join this club, the question is not if, it's when you will become black belt. Why am I telling you this story? Because I believe that God is calling all of us to be spiritual black belts. I believe that the Christian faith is a Christian walk towards maturity. And I want to draw some principles from the passage we just read this morning. Five principles towards becoming spiritual black belts. It is important for us who have been on a journey for a while so that we can assess where are we? Are we stuck somewhere? It is important for parents who just dedicated their baby, because you need to know those principles because you will need to teach those principles. It is important for those who will start their public declaration, faith statement when they will go through the water of baptism at the end of this message to know and practice those principles. Those principles are for everyone. So if you take notes, please note five principles that you need to know and master by the end of this sermon. All right? Let's go. Chapter 5, verse 11. Let's go and dig in scriptures. Chapter 5, verse 11. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, so you have become dull of hearing or slow to listen. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. Now, listen, the author of the book of Hebrews, we don't know who it is, we'll know when we'll be in eternity, but the author of the book of Hebrews might be a church planner. He might have actually planted the church that he's writing to. This time, the scholars agree that it is between 2 and 3 years of the time he's been planting the church to the time that he's writing the letter. And so there's a good chance that this church planter, this author, when he planted the church, said, I am planting this church. We're planting the gospel in your life so that one day you may become a spiritual black belt or something like this. Right? So he set up the expectation. He set up the expectation. The first principle is to keep the end in mind. What is the goal of spiritual formation? Is that you may become teachers. Keep the end in mind. Why is it important to keep the end in mind? Because sometimes spiritual formation is hard, and the road towards spiritual maturity can get bumpy. I remember one evening, Josiah and I were driving home from karate class, and he was really discouraged. He wanted to quit. He was just one belt away from becoming a black belt. But he was so discouraged, he said, I think I'm going to quit. And I said, son, you need to keep the end in mind. Remember what Pascal Poitevin said. He said, it's not if, it's when. Keep the end in mind. Look how far you've come. Keep it on. Pursue. Keep the end in mind. As you start the journey, even if you're young, you need to keep the end in mind. This will give you strength for the journey. That's the first principle. Second principle, listen to your master. Listen to your master. Do you hear the frustration in the passage? He's writing to this church that he planted. And he said, by this time, you should be all black belt. What is wrong with you? You're all still white belt. What happened? What stopped your progress? You were doing well. And then suddenly, you shrink back. What happened? Well, look at the text. It's there. You have become slow to listen. Now, do we have parents in the room? Raise your hand if you're a parent. Okay, do we have grandparents in the room? Okay. Don't you love when your kid or grandkid is slow to listen? Like, Brian, would you please set up the table for dinner? Brian! I know! Right? By the time the guy starts set up, you want to go to bed. And they say, why don't you start working on breakfast, you know? Because, and you think for yourself, if Brian continues like that, he will never get a job. Why? Because maturity requires discernment. And discernment requires practice. And practice requires listening. That's the difference between being a child and being an adult. It all starts with listening. What I've learned watching this karate master Pascal Poitevin training all those black belts is that he's ruthless on this question. If you are slow to listen, you're out of there very quickly. Not because he's mean, although he's a little bit mean. But because he knows that if you want to be an adult, you have to listen. You have to learn to listen. How frustrating is it when you have colleagues at work who claim to be leaders and they cannot even listen? As you grow in your spiritual journey, you need to listen to your master. You know, sometimes I meet young people. They know a lot of things about God, but they have not been trained to listen to his voice. There's a difference between knowing things about God and knowing God. The difference is listening. Are you listening? Are you worshiping? First principle, you need to keep the end in mind. Second principle, you need to listen to the master. Third principle, you need to know your basics. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance and dead works, the repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, instruction about washings, the laying on hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now, this is very interesting. The purpose of the belts in karate, when you move from white to yellow to orange to green, blue, all the rainbow colors, is that you start to mastering the basics. You move from white to yellow because you master yellow basics. That's why you can wear a yellow belt. And the same thing goes on in spiritual life. To grow on towards maturity, you need to know your basics. The elementary doctrine of Christ, the foundation of the Christian life. Aren't you happy that it's written right there so that you know what the basics are? Let's go to the next slide. Look, three pairs of two. Three pairs of two. That's the basics. That's what you need to know. That's what you need to practice. First pair, repentance from dead works and faith towards God. What is it? It's called evangelism. It's where you come from. Evangelism is a double movement. Evangelism means that you're moving away from the dead works you were practicing, and you're moving toward God who has living works prepared for you. Because there's only so much you can do in a day. If you want to continue to pursue the Christian life and do all the dead works you did, plus all the living work that awaits you, you won't be able to do it. It just doesn't work. Repentance means that you stop doing those dead works. Because you understand that there's no life in those dead works. And then you understand that God is calling you to life, life to the full. And when you listen to His voice and you start following Him, He has good works prepared for you to do that will bring life to the fullness in your life. Do you believe this? If you don't believe that, you will continue to practice the dead works. There is more to the Christian life than just coming at church on Sunday morning. I really believe there is. Now, biblical evangelism is this double movement. Faith towards God doesn't mean anything if you don't repent. You only have done half of the job. Now, some of us are struggling with some of the dead works that we have practiced in the past, and they are pursuing us even in the middle of the night. I said, oh, Pastor Nate, if only you would know what I did. If only you would know what I did. How can God forgive me? And you think that faith toward God means compensating for the bad work you did. How much do you need to compensate for your bad work? Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and tired. Are you just tired of trying to compensate for the wrong you've done? Now, Jesus promises that all those who come to him will receive full forgiveness for the past. Full forgiveness for the past. The greatest sin that we have ever committed is to nail the Son of God on the cross because of our sin. And that has been forgiven. And if that has been forgiven, what else cannot be forgiven? There is full forgiveness waiting for you. Stop compensating for your errors. Receive full forgiveness. Turn towards God and embrace the living work. That's where we're coming from. Second pair, instruction about the washings and the laying on hands. What is this? Well, scholars agree that the washings refer to baptism. Baptism of water, baptism of the Spirit. Identification with the triune God. I know that I have a Father who is in heaven. His King is holy. He gives, he forgives, and he delivers. That's our Father. Do you know him? Identification to Jesus Christ, who gave his life and said, whoever wants to follow me may carry his cross. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Identification to the love of the Father, to the mission of the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, who sends you into the world and bestows upon your life gifts of the Spirit, which also include the Baptist Church. Amen? Hallelujah. Peter says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. It is your responsibility as parents, when you grow your child into the roads of spiritual maturity, to help them discern the gifts of the Holy Spirit in their life so that they can start practicing those gifts even within the family. Don't wait for the youth group to do that for you. Engage as parents in spiritual formation for your kids. When you come to Christ, you are identified with the triune God and you are immersed in his family, which is called the church. Now, just a word for the young people. How many young people have I met who said, Raphael, I love God, I just don't think I'm ready for being baptized? And I say, why? I said, you know, I look around in the youth group and some have been baptized and they just, you know, they just walked away and I feel like, you know, I'm not at the level where, you know, I feel confident enough that, you know, I would shrink back. And I said to them, I said, are you one day expecting to get married? I said, oh yeah, I do. Are you expecting to be perfect the day you get married? Now, because if this is what you believe, you're going to wait a long time. I'm not even sure you can qualify to get married in eternity, you know. It's just one of those things. I mean, you get married, you don't even know what you're doing. You're just signing a paper. They say, yes, I do. And then you're like, so what did I do? Then you get the rest of your life to figure it out, you know. Just move on. You know, you get married, that's the start point. And then you try to figure it out, you know. It's the same thing with baptism. What are you waiting for? Just get wet. Take responsibility for your calling. Don't do things half the way. We're still in the elementary doctrine, and there's a third pair, which is very awkward. Resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Now, in theology, this is called eschatology. It's a bizarre word about the doctrine of the end times. why do you need to study eschatology as part of the basics of the Christian life? Because you need to know where you're going. We live in an age of modernity, of technology. You know, our eschatological horizon has shrunk back to the next release of Windows and Apple. My computer is so slow. When is the next update? Our son Josiah has a heart for the persecuted church. Brother Andrew, who is the founder of what? Open Doors, thank you. I just had a blank. This is the way he trains his students. So I'm going to ask Rob. I didn't ask you before, but Rob, can you just stand up? Because you're an instructor, a gun instructor, right? Yes, Rob. All right. So this is the way he trains his students. I want you to watch. Okay. Like, okay. Say, this is what he said. When you are ministering into a dangerous place, you might find people who get angry towards you because of the message you proclaim. And they might threaten to kill you and then point a gun at you. Can you please point a gun? Here I go. All right? And he says, what do you do in those circumstances? And usually there's one who says, you just run. Okay, how fast do you need to run to beat a bullet? I said, why would you want to run? You don't want to run. You want to embrace him. You want to walk towards him smiling. And then if you get close to him, you want to go around him and, you know, pat him on the shoulder and put his hand and start praying for him. And then usually there's one student who raised their hand and said, what if he shoots you? And Brother Andrew says, what's the problem? It's dead, and you're dead. And you'll die one day. You just get to heaven faster than the other ones. Do you know where you're going? Does that inform you the way you live your present life? We can give a hand to Rob. Thank you so much. If you don't know where you're going, how do you know what to do today? You know, Jesus reminded his disciples, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is it that you fear, my friend? Trust him. Know where you're going. Now, the more I look into this, those three pairs of two, the more I realize that actually the foundation is the gospel. Because the gospel is receiving full forgiveness for the past. This is where you come from. New life for today. This is who you are. And hope for the future, this is where you're going. You see that? Because in the gospel, I was saved, I am saved, and I will be saved. So knowing the basics is actually knowing the gospel message that you first believed in. And when you believe it and you practice it, then you become the gospel to a broken world. You become the gospel. You become good news because you've got something to say for those who do not have any hope. Any hope for the forgiveness of the sins of their past, any hope for a new life for today, and any hope for the future that awaits them. Be the gospel and then share the gospel. Know the basics. First principle, keep the end in mind. Second principle, listen to your master. Third principle, know your basics. Fourth principle, pursue maturity. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Now, some of you, you know, you read the text in your translation and said, that's not the word I have. I've got the word perfection. Go on to perfection. Well, it is a little bit misleading. The translation is maturity. Because maturity is a process, perfection is a goal. You see the difference? Like, I am pursuing maturity. That means I can measure how mature I have grown, right? If you say I'm pursuing perfection, you're either in or not. Right? There's no middle ground for perfection. So perfection is a goal, maturity is a process. And if you mix the two, then you get confused. I've had some people who studied a passage with me, and they're starting to argue, well, I mean, we are perfect in Christ, you know, therefore we can put the sticker in the back of our car, say, forgive me because I'm not perfect yet. What is this? It's not in the text. Pursue maturity. Pursue maturity. John Ortberg says in his book, The Life You Always Wanted to Live, there is an immense difference between training to do something and trying to do something. Spiritual transformation is not a matter of trying harder, but of training wisely. You need to know the difference between perfection and maturity. You need to know the difference between trying harder and training better. Let me just take a quick example. How many of us start the year saying, this year, I'm committing to pray more. This is my goal. I want to pray more. How many do we do this? You know, I'm ready to give more to church, you know, to $150 in August on the top of what I'm giving. You know, I'm committing to give more. Two problems with that. Number one, how much more is enough? You say you want to pray more. How do you know you achieved more? How much is more? See, the problem is that you can always pray more. Now, there's a difference if you say, this year I am committed to learn how to pray better, or to learn how to give better. You see the difference between the two? Then you can measure the progress. Then you understand it is not a question of trying more, because that is guaranteed failure. It is actually finding the right training and pursuing maturity in the training, right? And then you can turn around and say, I've achieved my goal. So know the difference between perfection and maturity. Yes, we're moving towards maturity through Christ, who is enabling us to walk this road, and through the power of His Holy Spirit. So, keep the end in mind, first principle. Second, listen to your master. Third, you know your basics. Fourth, pursue maturity. And lastly, fifth, give it your best. And this we will do, says the author. And this we will do. I love the we part. You see the we part? For the master and the student are working together and walking together on this journey towards maturity. I remember when Josiah got his black belt. He was excited. I was even more excited. And his master was even more excited. There was a lot of excitement. And then the beauty of it, he started actually teaching. And one day he came back home and he was smiling and said, you will never believe what happened. One of my students is my math teacher. Yes, she is. Negotiation is on the table. How much do you love me? I think Josiah has had more joy to see his own students growing to maturity than himself actually graduating with the black belt. Maybe one day you will have your own karate club. Maybe one day you will call those white belts and say, if you join my club, it's not if you get a black belt, it's when. Right? Then suddenly one day it dawned on me. If Pascal Poitevin and this club in this village of Vignes had so much faith and expectation for my own son that he would be one day a karate teacher, what about the church? What about me as a pastor, as a church planner? Am I just happy to run the show being the only black belt on stage and telling all the folks in the pulpit, you know, you can stay white belt, it's all right? Or am I concerned, am I passionate, am I growing frustrated when I see that they're not moving on? Am I giving them the space? I am giving them the freedom to pursue maturity so that they can be teachers also. One third of humankind doesn't know that there's a Jesus who saves. Not because they have not or they don't want to entrust their life to him, because no one is around them to tell them so. Folks, one third of humanity cannot receive salvation because there is no one around them to tell them so. Who will go? We don't need less teacher. We need more teachers. You see that? The task is not done. The task is not finished. And I know that some of you are called to go. And I plead with you parents, let them go. And I understand the cost. It's hard for George and Nita not to see their grandchildren. It's hard. But for the sake of the gospel, we need to let them go. Will you rejoice as a parent when your child comes to you and say, I believe Jesus is calling me to go? Will you rejoice? Will you rejoice? I pray it will be so. Give it your best, my friend. Give it your best. Five principles, and I'm done. First, keep the end in mind. Second, listen to your master. Third, know your basics. Fourth, pursue maturity. And fifth, give it your best. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless your road towards spiritual maturity. Amen.